Welcome to Wine by the Case. I'm Litigation Lex, and I am a professional arguer who has been practicing for 20 years. I recently have appeared on Court TV and Law and Crime.
Hi, I'm Chris Sensnick. I've been in the employment arena for about 28 years. I like to consider myself the employment law whisperer because if my clients are not in the paper for doing bad things, that's a good thing. I try and keep things like that quiet and contained. If they're doing good things in the community, I like for everyone to know. And we have a guest today, and that is Elisa Norin. So we're very happy to have Elisa join us today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we're excited about that Elisa's going to talk about is she knows so much about real estate. She is my personal queen of real estate. If there's something out there that's going on, she knows about it. If there's crazy stuff out there that's going on, she tends to be in the middle of it. It finds her. So, Elisa, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, my name is Elisa Norin. I am a real estate attorney focusing on transactions and litigation, both residential and commercial. And I've been doing real estate for about 23 years.
Welcome. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So the other thing I just want to throw out there is Elisa also has a little bit of a specialty in that she does mobile home parks.
I represent mobile home park owners.
Exactly.
Yeah,
not the homeowners, but the person that owns the dirt underneath the home.
Well, and it sounds a little provocative that she does mobile homes. Yeah. I don't know how that could be taken.
But the really cool thing is when you consider every single community in the United States has manufactured home parks, mobile home parks, parks you don't even realize are considered a mobile home park, because as people are aging, they're looking for a retirement plan, and there's some really nice ones out there. I've seen some for like $400,000.
Yes, there are very nice ones. There are newer ones. Those tend to be your 55 and up, your age-restricted parks. The family parks where there are no age restrictions tend to be the ones that you think about when you think of a mobile home park.
Oh, that's kind of sad. The children should get to live nicely. Let's throw the old people into the nice ones.
The working class versus the retired.
And one of the things, I drove by one recently and they had a sign up that said Rosé all day Thursday.
Nice. We need to go.
Yes. So that gets to our one.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And again, you should be able to have fun at any age. But we are trying, because it's so hot out there.
It really is.
Heat index is like 106. We are trying a French rosé. This is, I took college French and don't remember a word of it, but it's Santa Beatrice. And it's from the Côte de Provence, and we've had it chilling, so we're hoping that it's nice, light, and crisp, but you're getting the same reaction at the same time that we are. So let's try this, ladies.
And Chris knows that French rosé is my summer go-to.
It's your summer rosé. Yeah. And have you had this one?
I have not, so okay. I look forward to trying it.
Yeah, it was rated 90, so, you know, a decent one, but one never knows.
Thank you.
All right, let's have a sip. So what do you think? Does it rank since you're also the expertise on this?
It's good. It's got all the things a French rosé should have.
Exactly.
It's a good summer sipper.
Yes.
Summer sipper.
It would be nice by the pool with some girlfriends.
I love it.
Very good.
I like it. It is a good summer sipper. And of course, for those people in hot climates, you know, we sometimes call these pool wines. But this is better than a pool wine. This is not something you put ice in.
No.
You could.
I don't put ice in anyone.
I like it to stay cold, so if we were sitting outside, I would definitely put ice in it. So, since we have a real estate expert in the house, I've got some questions. So,
okay.
As we know, this market has just been crazy post-COVID. I mean, everybody thought when COVID hit, that, you know, the prices were not going to do what they ended up doing. So I have a question for you, because I would like to go buy a vacation property in Miami for $100,000 so I can go party with Pitbull. Is that going to be happening in the next 6 months?
Have you been drinking wine all day? So I guess that's a no. Well, you know, if I had a crystal ball, we would all be doing this from Miami.
I don't. I'll be there on Saturday.
With Pitbull. Pitbull will not be with me on Saturday. Right.
But no, I don't have a crystal ball. You know, it's interesting. I had a conversation, this pretty much this exact conversation, mm-hmm. with a buyer last week. And she moved here a year ago, and she informed me when she moved here that she was told, wait a year.
Yeah.
Well, she waited a year. The rates are relatively the same. The median sales price, for the most part, has continued to rise. Some areas have gone down, some have mm-hmm. gone up. But for the most part, it stayed consistent. And so she's paid rent for a year, right. and that's all she has to show for it. So we have a saying, it's called, date the rate, marry the property. If you find a house or a condo that you love and you can afford it, buy it. Because it may be a year, it may be 2 years, you just don't know, and you can't try to always time these things. If you buy the property you love, you can refinance your mortgage rate in a couple years.
So, honey, I will be buying a vacation house in Miami because... the real estate expert told me to do it.
Exactly.
So, you know, one of the things that we hear about a lot is when people are looking at vacations or even looking at just a second property, they look at a condo.
Mm-hmm.
What are the responsibilities of a real estate attorney and the buyer? As far as the docs themselves, are they actually supposed to read all 177 pages of that stuff they put in front of them?
They're only 177 pages. Well, I think they're more than that.
It's cheaper for them if they read it versus me.
Not in the long run.
So I would say to my buyer, read these documents. They are going to govern your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And some homeowners associations, you have to have your empty trash receptacles back inside your garage within a certain amount of time of trash being picked up. Other condos have limits on the size of your pet. Mm-hmm. So I always say, read them.
So because, no llama.
No llamas. Well, okay. You never know. But I always say, read them. And then if you have questions on a particular section, I'm happy to answer it for mm-hmm. you. But definitely, you know, the motto of the story is in any real estate transaction, read the fine print. I had people recently that didn't realize they had promised to write a first refusal to the person that they sold their neighboring parcel to. Mm. I mean, just read the fine print in anything you do, or hire a lawyer. Mm. In an employment contract, a business contract, right. a real estate contract, hire someone who knows what they're doing and can guide you through that process.
I think that, one of the good things for us as attorneys is a lot of people don't do that and it ends up in litigation.
And I know we need to litigate too.
Right. Good for us.
Good yep. for us.
Mm-hmm. Bad for them.
Right.
Because they just didn't read it because I'm sure you've had the same experience. They come into the office and they're like, I had no idea. I thought it was X, Y, and Z mm-hmm. when right. it's very plainly in the contract stating otherwise.
Yeah.
So I agree that is a very good... A good point. But you haven't had anybody with a llama and they try to get in there? No,
but I have had people say, just last week I had someone email me and say, I'm done with condo life.
Yeah.
Find me a realtor. So, you know,
yeah.
it happens. It's not for everybody, but for others, it's wonderful.
Well, some of the condo associations are a little whack. I mean, some of the stuff, they really go off the wall or more aggressive going after the owners than others that are a little more laid back.
And you have that anywhere, so, you know, with homeowners associations, yeah. condo associations, but, you know, it's the governing body. And
right. That's what you signed up for.
That's
right.
what you signed up for, exactly.
So, you know, all the talk has been about this commission lawsuits, and now the whole world thinks that they don't have to pay the buyer's agent the 3%. And by the way, I mean, this sounds great to me, because if I can buy a $1.5 million property and not pay that extra 3%, that's $45,000. Purse tie, people! Well, actually, maybe even a diamond bangle. So, I mean, it's a win-win. But, I mean, we know it hasn't gone into effect.
Correct.
But how do you think, in reality, when it does go into effect, really Are we going to have buyer's agents that are just going to work for free?
No.
You're
not going to have buyer's agents that work for free. So right now, how it is when you want to sell your property, be it your home, your condo, your business property, you sign a listing agreement with an agent who lists and markets the property for you. In that listing agreement, you agree to pay that agent usually 6%. It's pretty much the industry standard. The agent then will, the selling agent will split that commission with the buyer's agent, typically 3-3. Some seller's agents are less generous, some seller's agents are more generous, but it's typically 3-3. And if you think about it, it makes sense because the seller's the one that's getting the money at closing. Mm-hmm. So they're the one leaving, hopefully, with the fat check, and they're more able to pay the commission of the realtors. You've got a buyer coming to closing who probably is having to put their financing. They have to put 20% down. They have to pay all the closing costs. So now they're going to be expected to pay a 3% commission on top of that. That it's not realistic. So what you're going to have is basically just an adjustment in how things are handled. So now they cannot list how much they're going to compensate the buyer in the MLS. So you're going to have buyer's agents calling seller's agents ahead of time negotiating, well, what sort of commission am I going to get if I bring my buyer to this property now? Or you're going to have sellers offering to cover costs in order so that the buyer can then pay the commission. Or, you know, with real estate, everything's negotiable. You'll have buyers putting into their purchase offers that seller will need to pay their agent X amount. So I think in the end it's going to be a wash, but you know it's going to give more negotiating and more of a negotiating tool to both buyers and sellers with their agents. It may result in a decrease in commission, but as I always say, you get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people didn't realize that that was always negotiable. I mean, the sophisticated, you know, seller or buyer knew, but I think the first time home buyers did not realize that you could go in and negotiate that. I mean, high-end properties have been negotiating that forever. They're not paying 6% on a $100 million property.
Correct.
It's unheard of.
Correct.
I mean, I guess it could happen.
It's realistic. Yeah. So, everything's negotiable.
Right, but in this notion of being negotiable, and this, of course, is, you know, with real estate is location, location, location.
Correct.
In business law and employment law, it's document, document, document. So with the fact that people are having these offline conversations and basically having the would you, could you, where is it that that actually gets memorialized in a contract? Is that in the real estate contract itself? Is it a separate contract? Or is this going to be, you know, one brokerage is going to handle the buyer and the seller? How is this going to play out?
No one knows. Again, the crystal ball. It's going to be interesting. First of all, it'll be interesting to see when and if the court accepts the settlement. Mm-hmm. As you said, it's not effective yet, which is, sellers don't know this because they're calling me on a daily basis. Can I renegotiate my commission yet? No, not yet. Hold your horses. So it's going to be interesting. I think it does take something from the everybody knows going into it, what's going on. They're going to have to redo the contracts now, I'm sure, to include a section for that. Right now, the listing and the buying agent, they're just listed in the contract. They don't actually have to sign the contract. But if you're adding an addendum to the contract as to how the buyer's agent's going to get paid and who's going to pay them, they're probably going to have to now become a party to the whole contract, to just that section of the contract, which is the Florida Association of Realtors, going to come out with just an addendum to the contract that breaks all this down. It's yet to be seen on what the actual effect is going to be.
Well, and I know this is probably a little technical, but anybody who's ever bought a house has seen a HUD statement.
Right.
I mean, it's a pre-printed form. It has the stuff on there. Do you think it would go on that, or you still think it's going to be a
deadline?
Well,
it does. But that settlement statement isn't signed until closing. Mm-hmm. That's what the buyer and seller sign at closing, and the commission is listed on the top of page 2 of the settlement statement. So that's already on there. So that now it's just a question, was always the seller paying for it? Well, now is the seller going to be paying for it? Is the buyer going to be paying for it? Is there going to be concessions? Mm-hmm. That's the great unknown.
And that's the negotiating.
That's where negotiating comes in.
And that's exactly why they're going to need you.
That's right.
It's going to be a hot mess until it's worked out. It's going to be a hot mess. And with any change, it's always a hot mess.
Right.
So we also have the situation with the vacation rentals, which are huge, huge thing in Florida. So I have had friends that have called and said, I literally have girls gone wild. I know I'm aging myself right now, but naked people running through the back, you know, the house behind my house or next to my house. Who is regulating this insanity? I mean, this is crazy. Can you imagine your kids are out? They look out the window because they hear noise, and you've got like naked people
jumping in the pool,
jumping in the pool, or doing God, other things that you wouldn't want your children to see that we won't go into.
Right.
You know, in the pool. Who is regulating this?
Well, it's clearly a problem. My next door feed is always filled with, you know, people talking about party houses. Mm-hmm. They are usually going back to condo and associations. They're usually outside a homeowners association or a condo mm-hmm. association. So right now, how vacation rentals are regulated is twofold. One, you've got municipalities, usually your barrier islands. In our area, it's Anna Maria Island, Lombok mm-hmm. Key, Siesta mm-hmm. Key. They have local restrictions. Your condo and your HOA, your homeowners associations, have always had the ability via statute in their governing mm-hmm. docs to have leasing restrictions. Whether it's a time period, a 30-day minimum, or background checks for potential tenants, mm-hmm. what have you. So those restrictions have always been in place. But you get outside of that, and you know, you've got the 10-bedroom house in Mayaca, that's out sort of any sort
who
of...
Stop. Who is renting this 10-bedroom house in Mayaca?
I'm curious.
You know, there's huge hunting in the middle of the state.
No. Well, you'd be surprised. There were people. We have vacant property in Parrish, and there's a house east of us that just, they did that. They just rent the house out for events on Saturday, you know, Friday nights and Saturday nights.
Yep.
So
people like to go ATV, and there's lots of hunting.
At that point, your only option is law enforcement and code enforcement. I mean, if it's maybe a noise regulation, but you know, once you get outside a small municipality that restricts it, or a condo or a homeowners association that restricts it,
You're done. You're going to have to deal with them.
They're not.
I mean, hunting, can you imagine somebody shooting guns and they're not used to being around guns, and now it's like, obviously those houses in Mayaca are spread out more.
And it's not just Mayaca.
We're not dissing Mayaca. There are very nice people there.
No, I think Okeechobee actually is the big problem.
Yeah.
Really. Because Okeechobee is known for hog hunting in the state of Florida. And I mean, I handled that case 27 years ago at the DCA, and they said you're going to kill hog hunting if you don't allow rentals. That's how long this has been going on. So people like to go out and
hogs are a nuisance animal.
Hang with their friends, have some fun. But again, that doesn't mean the person who's 5 miles down the road is enjoying hearing the guns being shot as they're shooting animals, beer cans, whatever it is that they're doing, because they're having fun, and no one objects to people having fun except when it happens every single
Or is it 11 o'clock at night?
Well, even at 11 o'clock at night, you call the police in rural areas.
They're not going to come out there, that's for sure.
And so I thought, Elisa, there was something where, you know, we always hear these arguments about local control.
Mm-hmm.
And where is it that the state should step in? And where is it that what Alexa was talking about, the municipalities, things like that, stepped in? What's Florida's current stance?
Well, we just actually had a bill that was vetoed by the governor. And I actually agree with his decision to veto it. You cannot have a one-size-fits-all legislation because you do have small municipalities that have certain needs. You have larger areas, more, you know, county, more rural areas that have different needs. So it definitely needs to be on an area-by-area basis. So, I mean, call your local commissioners. Call your state representatives if you have a particular area and see what they can do for your area and a solution that fits your area and your population.
So you don't want them to call you about this?
I can't help it.
No. You just don't want to sit on the phone and listen to the men about it.
I mean, if they want to pay me, we can do that.
You can be their therapist.
Right.
Exactly. Got it.
And speaking of that, so if somebody were want to reach out to you, Elisa, on the roller coaster that truly is real estate, because again, everyone's watching the raids, everyone's watching what's going on. How do they get a hold of you?
Good question. They can call me or email me. I am a shareholder with the law firm of Eichhardt Merrill. We're based here in Sarasota, but we also have offices in Lakewood Ranch in Charlotte County. And my email is A Noren. Should I spell that? A-N-O-H-R-E-N at EichhardtMerrill.com. Or you can find me on the firm's website, www.EichhardtMerrill.com.
And we're going to put that down below in the comments so you have it, so you didn't have to run and get a pin or, you know, rewind it.
Yeah, don't want to have to set your wine.
Yeah, well, but we will definitely put it below.
Speaking of wine, what do we think?
So what do you think of the wine?
It's quite delicious.
On a 1 to 5, what would you say?
For a rosé? If we're just doing it in rosé, I would give it a 4.
Okay.
I'd honestly give it a 4 too, because it's just light, it's refreshing when it's hot out, and it's just got that little bit of pear, peach, nectarine thing going on that's just light.
So I normally don't drink rosé. I'm more red girl, but I do love my champs. So this is actually good. I would drink this again. So I definitely give it a 5 for me, because I generally cannot stand rosés.
Yes, we have St. Beatrice got a 5 from Alyssa.
She's having a ring on it.
Red wine.
So what we do ask our audience, please comment below and tell us what topics you want to hear, or if you would like to be on our podcast, then let us know. We would love to have you.
And any suggestions about the wine, because of course, Wine by the Case is uncorking legal insights one bottle at a time.
Have a great day.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you, Elisa.